Today, Father has asked me to share a few things with you. I invite you to look at the bulletin for this week. You'll find in there that the weekday Mass schedule and the times of liturgy are going to be different from here forward. You'll find this here on this interior page within the bulletin. We see here that the weekday Mass schedule is 8 a.m., a Latin low Mass Monday through Friday. That means every day we will be having an 8 a.m. Mass now that we have two priests at the parish. So if you wish to come at that time, more than welcome to receive our Lord and to pray here within the church. There will be a noon Latin low Mass on Tuesday and Friday, and the 6:45 Latin low Mass on Wednesday and Thursday, as was the previous schedule. Saturday Mass schedule will be 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. this English Mass in the ordinary form, just as you are experiencing it now. And Sunday Mass will be just as is always, no change with that. If you turn over to the back side of the bulletin, after seeing the new priest assigned as a parochial vicar who is speaking to you right now, you will see that the Altar Society is in need of great help at this time. Because of certain beautiful things that have happened within the parish, and also sad things of others departing, some of our volunteers have had great life changes, including bearing life themselves within them, so they've had to step back from these apostolates in being able to go forward. So if you feel called, listen to the Holy Spirit in prayer, to help us with flowers and to help us with cleaning, we need at least two more teams to be able to help to do that, so that each group, each team, will only have to go once a month. You know, many of our parishioners travel great distances to be a part of the good things happening here at St. Stephen's Parish, and so we would very much appreciate if you would be able to step up and to help, so that it would be not so much a distance and so much of a burden for those who are joyful to be able to help us out. If you want more information, look here within the bulletin and you'll find that. And the last announcement is that today, after this Mass at 5:30 p.m., the parish is having a particular potluck. Now, maybe you weren't expecting that you were going to have a potluck today. Well, you're welcome to join anyway. Don't worry about the fact that maybe you haven't brought anything. Come over and have some food after Mass. After that, at 6:30, they will be having a screening, a beautiful showing of that great classic movie, Julie Andrews, The Sound of Music. She's the one there. Roger and Hammerstein, that beautiful music. Something maybe you remember from your youth or great moments that you spent with your families. Come spend it with our family. As Catholics, we're all families. So come be a part of it, join it, and then sing with the song. See as these young kids, many of whom will see it for the first time tonight, and share within that joy. You don't have to be a kid anymore. That's one of the great things God has given you in having children. Or if your children have already flown the nest and your children are not here with you, we're Catholics, so we share one another's children. We're all a part of one family, are we not? Excellent. Let's listen to the words of the Holy Gospel. Our Lord exclaims, I give you praise, Lord Father of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have here what many of the fathers of the church talk about here within this beautiful Gospel that's given for us today, what so many speak of as, quote, the pearl of the Gospel of Matthew. Have you heard that expression before? The pearl of the Gospel of Matthew. If you haven't heard it before, you heard it now. And now here, when you hear this word, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, what you see here is the pearl. And it's called the pearl in a reason, because what it does is it jumps out. It's something that leaps out of here. It's something that appeals to our attention right here of what is going on in the interior of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, he's giving teachings, he's healing, he's going about doing good things, as the gospel speaks of in other places, and then all of a sudden, he erupts. It seems like it doesn't follow from what comes before. It doesn't seem that it really seems to go with what comes afterwards. But here, it jumps into our experience here within the gospel. It disrupts the usual sequence of Matthew's narrative of what happens in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and his deeds and his great... It's an aside, as it were. What's an aside from stage terms? It's when the actors doing a play turn to say something so that the other members of the play don't hear what's going on, but so you, as those who are viewing the play, come to know. And so it is as though our Lord is speaking in an aside. He's not speaking to those who are around here. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the Father. He's speaking to the Father alone, yet everybody else is hearing what's going on within the conversation that our blessed Lord has with his Father there. This aside isn't really an aside. It's actually the main thing for the Lord Jesus Christ. The main thing with Christ is his dialogue between himself and his blessed Father in this ways, lifting up the veil, as it were, to the moment that allows us to see how our Lord sees all things. When our Lord goes through life, when he does good things, when he's doing great miracles, where's his attention, first and foremost? It's not to the things that are around him, not even to the persons who he's dealing with. He's always aware that he and his Father are in conversation. This is the great thing about our Lord. It says, at that time, Jesus answered. At that time, Jesus answered is what it really says within the text. He answered. Well, who is he answering? He's answering the call, the divine call of the Father. The Father's always speaking to the Son. The Son, in turn, is always speaking to the Father. There's always this constant dialogue that's going on there. Rather than declared, as it says here in our scripture text for Mass, it says he exclaimed, but it's more than that, he answered. That means there was something else that was going on right before that you and I have no access to. We only have what the Son speaks, what the Son speaks back. And this is a prayer dialogue that's always going on in his life, regardless of what else is occurring within his life. That's to say that everything that you and I see in the narrative of the Gospels is what happens merely along the surface. But it's here, during this pearl, during this great piece right here that you and I are to hang on to, it's the one that pulls forth a veil so we can see actually what's going on in the interior of Christ, in the interior of his heart, in the interior of his life as he goes forward. We see here the relationship between the Father and Son is what underlines every scene of the Gospel. And so when we hear so frequently, as we do throughout the Gospels, where it says, at this time, and it explains what our blessed Lord Jesus was doing, it says, at this time, he went into this, at this time, this is what he did next. What we see that is really going on is it stresses the way in which Jesus eternally has burst forth into time. That regardless of what Jesus may be saying, no matter what it is that he may be doing on the outside, we see here where his heart is. It's simultaneously occupied with whoever he's dealing with, whatever situation is going on, and at the same time, in two things. Thanksgiving to God, and in joy. That's where our God is. That's where our Lord always is speaking of. He's always perpetually giving thanks to God, his Father, who is always revealing all things, who's always showing all things, who's always in relationship with his divine Son. And what that does, knowing the divine favor which the Father is pouring into the Son, who is co-eternal with him from always, is the source of his joy. Meaning that even when people aren't understanding him, even when the apostles are being thick-skulled, even when people are rejecting the things that he says, even when they're murmuring behind the scenes, trying to find a way where they can actually stick a knife into his back and end who he is, as we see often throughout the Gospels, our Lord is always full of joy, not because of what's going on the surface, but because what's going on interior, what he's always attending to, which is the face of the Father. What does it show for you and I? Here we are at Mass. Here we are going through many things. When soon as this Mass ends, what are you going to do? Where are you going to head to? What people are you going to talk to? What conversations are you going to have? What's going to happen through your Monday through Saturday? What's going to happen on your Sunday? What are going to happen all these other days which pass? You're going to deal with a lot of things. You might speak to a lot of people. You might hear a lot of chattering, whether it's from the television or from some other screen. You're going to hear a lot of things. Well, while you're going through that, because you've been baptized, you have an opportunity to have access to something else. What is that something else to which you were able to have access to? The greatest grace of the Christian is this. Not that we get to receive all these great sacraments, not that we get to taste his body and blood, as great and glorious as that is in Holy Communion. It's first and foremost that you and I always get to have the full and undivided attention of the Father. Why is that our grace as Catholics? Because the Son has been stamped into us through baptism. His image is put in us in a way that not even the greatest horrors of this world can ever blot out. What I'm speaking about is not even sin, not even mortal sin can erase that. So you always have access to the Father, even from the depths of sin. From the depths of that sin, if should we have the horror mortal sin fall upon us, we can always turn to God and ask for forgiveness. And we always have a God who is yearning for us, to listen to us, and to drive us through a compunction, to brave those confessional doors, and to get right with God so that we can have and reclaim that eternity which baptism promises you and I, which is dialogue that should be able to happen not just between the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and us, but should be able to be the very thing which sustains, moves forward, urges onward every one of us. Because you are a son, men. You are a son in the Son of God. Every one of you daughters is a daughter living in the person of the Son who has a relationship with the Father. And that is the greatest grace imaginable. Something that can lift you up from the depths of distress and sorrow and despondency, maybe even great depressions, even nearing despair, is that God the Father is listening to you. And because you've been stamped with the image of the Son because of baptism, it means that you have full access to God who is the Father. What a great grace is that, isn't it? What a great joy that can lead you forward. Because of that, there's always a reason to give thanks in everything, as the Scriptures teach you and I. And so we find it here that our Lord erupting out of this great expression, we see that regardless of what he's saying or doing, we see his heart is always occupied with thanksgiving and joy in his Father, expressed in unceasing communion and prayer. When inviting us to come to him, as he says in the very next paragraph of the Gospel, when he's inviting us there, it's more precisely to this joy, to his joy, that the Father has in him and he has in the Father. That's what he's really calling us to. There's another translation of this particular passage that says, come to me not merely all you who are weary and heavy laden. It says, come to me all you who find life burdensome. This life is burdensome. It's heavy. Sometimes as we go and spend and pass more years upon the life, years upon this earth, say, God, when are you going to take me? When is the end actually going to come? How much longer do I have to travail upon this earth until you'll ultimately bring me back to yourself? You ever feel like that? I know I do. When you begin to feel that, then you begin to know what our Lord is trying to call you and I out of. He wants to bring us to a rest, to take his yoke upon our shoulders and to learn from him, to see how our Lord is meek and humble of heart, which reminds you and I, meekness, that God has all the strength, but he will only use so much as to bring you and I in the direction that we need to go. God won't smite souls. He's here to uplift souls because he desires the salvation of everyone. And he's humble enough to make himself so tiny, which is what the incarnation teaches us, that we can feel comfortable drawing near unto him. And then we find ourselves near to him. That's when our souls can find rest. That rest is found for you and I only when we live our lives completely and totally in dialogue with the Father. If you're struggling to understand what that is, if you're struggling with that realization that this is could actually be your reality, that what is going on here within the gospel, what we speak about here within the pearl of St. Matthew, where our Lord just all of a sudden, the veil is pulled back, and all of a sudden you see that throughout everything, the Lord Jesus is having a conversation with the Father through his heights and through his depths, through his sorrows and through his joys, through every difficulty that he faces. That's not just a privilege of Christ. Ask him for that grace today. Spend the rest of this Mass just saying, I know Father's doing what Father does. Father's offering the sacrifice of the Mass. Father's here doing the thing that we can't do. So Lord, you're here. Show me what that's like. Invite me into this grace. I don't just want to know what it is by hearing my words tingled by this great grace. Is it possible that I could experience it? I promise you this. If you dare to even ask that question, and dare even a step further to say, well, Lord, you do listen to the cry of the poor. So that means you're listening to me. So I actually expect you to answer. If you come to that point, I guarantee you, even here in this Mass, when maybe you were just fulfilling a Sunday obligation, it can be something which a launching forward to see that the pearl of St. Matthew is not something that's supposed to remain within the book, but the pearl of St. Matthew is something that's supposed to remain in my soul and carry me not just through today, not just through this week, but unto the rest which the Father desires to give, which the Son invites us to. For his yoke, brethren, it is easy. His burden is light. And only in this dialogue between the Father and the Son, which is the privilege of every Christian, every baptized soul, can be the end toward which you are called as well. Seek this pearl. This pearl is meant for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.